Joel about the not needing a fence. So that always makes it a little hard to just go with what the neighbors want, given that they may be. But I feel great about the project.
Mm-hmm. Chris, if you want a certain amount of fence there or a certain kind of fence, y'all have to just require it.
But it isn't an intrusive kind of activity.
No, there's some space between and there's some trees. There's no low shrubs or anything like that, but there is a pretty good space between.
It seems like in the past we've generally went with either or, you know, either landscape buffering or fence when it made more sense to do fencing, and it looks like there's plenty of...
There's more than 30 feet of landscape buffer between the home and the...
Okay. I agree.
Therefore...
Make a motion?
I would like to make a motion. We approve.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Mr. McLean has seconded. Mr. Bronner has made the motion. Any further discussion?
Only to note that for special use, right, which is what it came in.
Exactly.
Okay. Call the question. All those in favor of approving Susan's bookkeeping as a special use permit, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Congratulations. Let's move on to the Wilderness Club at Big Cedar. And who all do we have representing the project tonight?
I'll just give you the list.
Okay.
Address questions as you choose.
Okay.
Our friend Brian Wade needs hazardous pay as well. His recovery trip back from Europe delayed him in Atlanta, so he was not able to attend.
Okay, so he's in Atlanta right now?
He is in Atlanta, fighting the weather as we are.
Okay.
My name is Tom Jott. I'm representative for Big Cedar and Bass Pro Shops. With us this evening is Mike Stalser, who is a civil engineer and helping on the project. He can address any stormwater and well issues you require. Ed Lindquist is with the planning department. Any density issues that you would have concern over. Howard Kitchen with operations for Blue Green and Tim Swearing is head of Blue Green and partner, and myself.
Okay. This is not nearly as easy as Susan's bookkeeping, gentlemen. So I'm assuming that you have some discussions. The issues that, why don't you just wait for a while and we'll ask you if we need that information. The concerns that we had last week obviously dealt with water runoff. I think that was a concern. Concern for the water table. Concern for the alternative traffic patterns and the development of those traffic patterns around through the property. Again, we talked about fencing so that there was not egress or ingress from Graham Clark Road, trying very hard to protect that neighborhood. And then I have a personal question about the 12-year build-out plan. And that question, Eddie, is going to go to you. So where would you all like to start in the discussion?
Well, I know we asked them for some stuff for last week, and we might be able to get some questions answered before we ask a whole bunch of them, and they could give us an update on what we asked them for.
And the two things that we asked for you specifically was an overview of the entire property and what you were doing with water retention basins and water flow and... may I say before I get into that I am somewhat sympathetic with developers who choose to build on the side of a mountain and are expected to control all of the water runoff that comes off of the mountain. So that's your burden of responsibility, at least in the perspective of the neighbors. So, okay, now, do you want to come and introduce yourself and speak to those particular issues?
My name is Mike Stalser. I'm with Mesa Engineering. I do have information for you I'd like to give you. Here's the calculations on the water system. Here's the drawings that are going to be presented on the PowerPoint.
Thanks.
And then here's a letter from DNR relative to the water table. Just trying to know how that all works.
Okay.
we did was first we examined what the existing capacity was of the system they have out there and as it relates to the water system. And currently they have the Summit well, which has a 300-gallon-a-minute pump and a 250,000-gallon ground-level storage tank. And that's at the highest elevation. It's up the state drive. It's fairly far from the project itself. And then they have a well on site, well number one, which is off of McMean Road, which has a 175-gallon-a-minute well and a 75,000-gallon-a-day or ground-level storage tank. Now, the hydraulics are such that even though the two wells are owned and operated by Big Cedar, they have to act independently, because if they were, all the valves were open and the pipes were all connected, the Summit well tank would drain because it would come out the top of the, okay? So we analyzed it as if the Summit well was providing water for the entire development. And based on the calculations, they would need, during peak demand, about 123,000 gallons of water for a two-hour period if you considered necessary storage for fire flow, which would be 60,000 gallons. And they've provided a 250,000-gallon tank. So they have adequate capacity for peak operations. And that's with just the Summit well operational. So if you refer to the DNR letter, it states that if the Summit well were operating, it would, and they were on a 10-day continuous pump cycle, the well would draw down at a distance of 1,200 feet from the pump itself, 18 feet. And then at 2,800 feet away from the well, there'd be no impact. Can you pull up the drawing for me showing the...
That one?
You see the radius on the plan sheet?
There's a pointer right there.
Podium.
Pointer.
Okay.
Well, let me get you a drawing.
The arc right here represents 2,800 feet from the Summit well. And here is Graham Clark Road, where the concerned residents are. Well number one is right here, which would be used intermittently for the development. So there would be no impact on their wells from the Summit well, even through a 10-day continuous pump cycle. There would be no lowering of the groundwater table.
Are these new wells to be constructed?
No, the Summit well exists. That's what they use today. That's the well they have.
It's the primary well for the entire...
Exactly, and well one exists also. And it does serve, I think, like Devil's Pool, the restaurant, stuff that they can isolate from the balance of the water system. But the primary water supply is from the Summit well. So in effect, there's no real consequence from the Summit well on these homeowners up here. So any fluctuations they would see in their water table would be unrelated to, in essence, to Big Cedar.
How deep are those wells?
The Summit well, I believe, is, if you pull up the next sheet, the pump is set at 861 feet, and the well is drilled 1,200 feet. And those residential wells are anywhere from 250 to 600 feet deep. And then, so what these graphs show you right here is that over the last 2 years, the water table... They have two monitoring wells in Branson, one in Branson and one at Cooper Creek. Both wells have showed an increase in the elevation of the water table from 2007. Cooper Creek's gone up about 5 feet, or I'm sorry, 20 feet, and Branson's gone up about 5 feet. So there hasn't really been a decline in the last 2 years anyway.
At that deep
level. At those two observation wells. So that's what that information tells you there. And this diagram right here shows you the drawdown of the well, which would be, in effect, the surface of the water in the aquifer when the pump is running. So at 1,000 feet from the well, you'd be 18 feet below normal level, normal water level. And at that 2,800 feet, there is no impact, which is the arc on that previous drawing. And then, so that addresses, I guess, the well issues. Yeah. Do you have any questions for me on
one
that?
One of the questions that, subsequent to the meeting, someone talked that someone had suggested drawing water out of Table Rock Lake, but that was not a part of your proposal at all.
Right? No, not at all. No.
Has the development thought about that as you continue?
Well, you get into a different problem. You got to, one, draw the water out, and then, two, treat it. Which can get very costly, and three, you need permission from the Corps of Engineers to do that. So it's much easier, obviously, to use what nature's purified and provided.
So if I can understand what you're saying at the 1,200-foot level, your water table is more than ample to supply
this aquifer is the same aquifer that the homeowners draw from. It's the same water. They're just at a higher elevation within the aquifer.
Well, but that was going to be my next question. You know, given all of the publicity and news within the last week where we've talked about, in the media, water tables.
Right,
and
right.
The decline of the water table and water supply and worry about where we're going to
right,
get water.
Right, and that's why I put the graphs on there. This is through September of 2009, which shows an increase in the actual water level, which is good.
Amazing, yeah. But my question is, the homeowners are likely to have some problems.
They could very well, and honestly, I don't know when the wells were drilled, at what time, and how old they are, and in effect, they may need to lower their well, but the influence of this well doesn't necessarily affect them. Okay. That's the point of that 2,800-foot radius.
Right. Okay. Then the next question is, what information do you have about water runoff?
Okay, if you go to the previous sheet, what we did was is we divided the property up into the appropriate drainage areas where these basins here would intercept the runoff from the project. And I think the concern was primarily with the people along Graham Clark Road. But nonetheless, we've divided the property up into the appropriate drainage areas and then sized the tension ponds based on the county requirement, which means whatever amount of water would leave this point right here during a normal 25-year event, which is about what we're going to have tonight, we would intercept it and hold it in this pond and release it at a rate equal to what it was pre-developed, meaning the impact of this development would go unnoticed relative to the amount of runoff leaving the property. So these basins store the water and release it at a predetermined rate over a 24-hour period. So, in effect, regardless of the impervious cover created, these ponds mitigate that impact and don't affect the downstream landowner any more than they would have been affected prior to development of the property.
Do you have a total topographical map?
It's on there. This ground slopes. This is the high point, this line right here.
Yeah.
This all drains this way to the lake. This all drains this way. So these individual areas represent areas that's draining in a northerly direction towards Graham Clark Road. So this is a rather large area we're picking up here, and these are two smaller ones. And then this is a fairly large area we're picking up here. And then these numbers here represent the volume of water we have to store to mitigate that impervious cover impact.
And one of the things that I asked for also was an overview of the entire Big Cedar project.
If you go
not to, just this, but
if you go to the first sheet,
okay,
of the drawings, the cover sheet,
okay,
is do you have it in there, Dan?
I don't think so.
Big Cedar development.
Okay.
And this is the area we were looking at.
Okay. I understand that, but my concern was, you know, people were speaking about problems that we had already now with water runoff and was trying to see if we could mitigate that some way or other. You know, so where are your retention basements?
They're on Big Cedar's property.
Okay, but that's for the new development, right?
Right.
Okay, where's the old development retention?
The old development all goes to the lake right here, so it all stays on Big Cedar's property.
Okay. Or the lake.
Or it goes into the lake, correct.
Okay.
Which is a big retention pond.
Which is a fairly sizable basin.
Okay. Okay. Anything else that you want to share with us?
And then I think you had questions on sewer capacity, which we addressed in the calculation sheet, which basically states that the treatment plant currently has capacity for an additional 180 units plus an estimated flow of 40,000 gallons a day for commercial development. It's unclear what the commercial development is. We gave it an allowance, but at some point they'll have to expand the treatment plant, but they have a fair amount of time to accomplish that. And I believe that was everything. Do you have any other questions?
Well, except the question of a 12-year build-out, and do you do the infrastructure things, Summit Well and the well number one are already in place, you say?
And the treatment plant.
Okay.
So,
and the retention basements.
Those are typically built as a phase is proposed for that specific drainage area. The basin will be completed for that drainage area. So if phase one were to occur on a few acres here, we would construct the basin to handle the entire drainage area, even though it's not developed yet.
Okay, Mr.
I've got one question for you. And just this one paragraph where it says, and it's near the end from, this is from the Department of Natural Resources,
right.
Provided. It said it's not possible to produce a large quantity of groundwater from the Ozark Aquifer without some impact. And I like what this is saying. The average projected water requirement of 350,000 gallons per day, about 250 gallons per minute, for the completed development is not an unusually large demand. There are many water supplies in the Table Rock Lake area that are substantially more water. If this load is divided between three wells, then water levels will have an opportunity to recover when the pumps are idle.
Right.
And they said, the only thing I noticed that was different than what you're talking about, I like what they're saying here, is they said three wells, and I don't understand.
Well, we have two. We have the well number one, which is 100.
Right.
We have the Summit Well, which is the 300 gallon a minute well. And then at some point, there's probably going to be a need for a third well, only for the purpose of redundancy, meaning if the Summit Well were to go down mechanically, they wouldn't have any water to supply. They'd run out of water in one day.
But you'll store water with the third.
Yeah, that would run out
so
in a
you'll
day.
You'll have that.
Right.
And that's what would help that recover quicker?
Well, that in three wells, if you spread out that area of influence,
right,
it gives it time to recover because you're not doing that constant draw. You're spreading it over a larger area.
Right.
So you're, in effect, your drawdown would be theoretically less. So it would recover quicker.
So that's what they were saying.
That's what he's saying there.
That's what question I had.
Okay. Mr. Coxey, when we approve a project like this that is very complex, and we look at a 12-year build-out of the thing, the developers know that whatever we decide tonight is applicable throughout that entire 12-year build-out period. Or if they choose to modify, they have to come back before us. Is that correct?
If they would choose to do something of what we would consider lesser density, then we would okay that in the office.
Okay, but more density.
More dense would have to come back before you. That's why I do want to, I have a note here to ask you to make sure that you get a number of buildings and total number of units, because what we got last time was the 620 timeshare units.
Right.
I don't know if that includes the cabins and everything like that, but if we could get kind of a number there, it would help quite a bit. Also, there's some commercial stuff here that you'll want, if you choose to approve this, you'll want to stipulate that you want to know what's going on there before it goes.
Right.
Okay. So that's just a matter of keeping the communication.
Yes, ma'am.
And their obligations to communicate.
And we normally would go back and pull however many years it's been, and you've seen some of those cases in here recently, with storage units where we told the person you're out of buildings. And it may have happened 5 or 6 years ago, and they've had to come back before you and ask for more buildings and everything.
Okay. And, sir, I forgot your name, Tom. Why don't you come back up? Because I understand that you had some meetings with the neighbors, and I'd like you to report on the nature of those meetings and whether or not they were bloody and, you know, what all happened in those neighborhood meetings.
Both ends. It was good.
Okay.
I wanted to continue the discussion that Mike was having about stormwater and relate that to your question. We had the opportunity, out of kindness of the neighborhood, to meet with the two organized groups that represented neighborhood districts, and they represented a variety of homes within that area. We did that this last week, and they came with a long list of questions, many of which were repetitive to our discussion here. Others that they had thought of that they hadn't considered during the discussion. The bottom line was they now are supportive of this project. Reasons that they're supportive is the information that Mike shared with you. That same information was shared with him. He kindly produced that ahead of time. The well condition, their understanding of that, and with all the propaganda and discussion that's happening with wells, that added to their support of that. The 2,800 feet, they were not aware of that in the discussion, so we passed that on. We further agreed to continue to work with them, and they asked, and we have agreed at our own expense and time, to do a further runoff study that is outside of that north boundary. So the points that, Mike, you've got the performance disappointer. These discharge points that Mike was referring to as a 6-inch pipe, and where that water goes, we've agreed to analyze that and determine the impact of that discharge. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 different locations on those Graham Clark residences, and Mike will be doing that study. I'm not sure it's something that's required, but as a good neighbor, we wanted to provide that. So.
Okay.
Relative to your question about density, I'd like Tim or Ed to speak to that.
Okay, because we would like to know precisely the numbers of units now and the numbers of buildings that you're talking about, so that we can enter those into the record.
Yeah, part of that I can address. The number of units we can very clearly speak to. The number of buildings is undetermined at this point. We know what the carrying capacity is of the site based on its land area, the parking requirements that you govern, and basically the utilities were kind of constricted by those points.
The number of units was 600 and?
620.
That's
right.
Everything. And that included the cabins?
Yes, that includes cabins, lodges, and what other variety of lodging that is.
Okay, and estimated number of buildings then, can you break it down into X number of cabins, X number of lodges?
Yeah, what we did, and I don't know if we have the previous presentation, it showed there was the yellow and the blue and the green last week's presentation.
Yeah.
I think Ed could better speak to that, showing each of the different zones has a carrying capacity that's identified in terms of the number of units. So that unit type cannot be exceeded, whether it's a lodge or a cabin or hotel. I mean, it can only be that many, is the way this is being presented to you for approval.
Okay, and again, there are 5 parcels that you're dealing with, plus the commercial. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, there's a total of 9 parcels that are described there, 5 of which are the actual timeshare parcels, and if you and read this, and I don't know if you can, but I'll be happy to go through each one.
No.
But it breaks down each one of those development parcels or pods and gives a density and a unit count for each. What I don't have for you today is the number of buildings per. And the reason I don't have that is, for instance, if we take, where is that? There it is. If we take TS number 3, which is one of the larger parcels, that's all meant to be one-story cabins and tree houses. So it has a lower density, and we calculate that, but we haven't actually laid out the actual units. So if you look, TS3 is 18 acres, and there's 60 units proposed for that parcel. If we take TS4, which is a little bit further up the slope, TS4 is 12 acres, but will contain 206 units. And so you can see the difference between the two. The 206 units is at a density of 17 units to the acre. On the TS3, which is closer to the neighbors and to the north, is a much lower density at 3.3 units to the acre. And that's pretty much how we calculated the total of 200.
Again, because the green space was public space.
Well, the green space is what we're calling recreational open space. Okay. Yes.
And that's part of your 9 parcels?
It's part of the total 9 parcels, correct.
Okay. And then the puce-colored one and the lavender-colored one.
Yes. This lavender, if you will, is the commercial properties. And then this one here is not included. That's a parcel that was discussed previously where the...
That's where the bowling alley is going?
The bowling alley complex is.
Okay. One. Okay. Questions?
On my notes here, I had that TS1 and TS3, which you've kind of talked to, were... I just want to confirm that what I wrote down was right. Is single-story units only, or at least cabins?
That's mostly. That's correct.
So more residential looking.
Correct.
Okay. I knew TS3 was, but I had TS1.
TS1, yes, TS1.
Okay.
And TS3, that's correct.
Okay.
That gate that comes out of the north side, is that north?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up here on Graham Clark.
You had mentioned that's just going to be for emergency.
That's right.
Is that a... Would there ever be consideration on y'all's part to change that? Or is that a done deal? Only emergency. It'll never be another gate for...
We feel as though the roadway configuration and having the 3 points of access is sufficient to run this development. And as I stated previously, the entrance onto Graham Clark was intended only to be for an emergency.
You said you might have something that shows how you're
going
to make
picture.
That happen.
Yeah, we had a little sketch that Tom had done showing the character of what we thought that that...
Can we see that?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
So you're going to have a guy standing there making sure nobody else...
He's made out of metal.
It's a gnome. A really big gnome.
It's a big gnome.
It's Halloween. That's a scarecrow.
And gentlemen, if you want that to stay as an emergency exit, mention it in your decision of record, and if they want to change that, they would need to come back and see you.
Is there going
to
be any more entrance off of Graham Clark?
Yeah. No, sir.
None at all off of Graham Clark, so you can't get this off of Graham Clark.
There would be the one emergency entrance,
right.
And then, no, we don't have any other access points.
So a security code or something to get in, or to get out if they had to have an ambulance, that'd be about the only way they could get in. No. You couldn't have guests accidentally get in that way, really.
Possibly hard to read here, but the information on the left says shear bolt each side. In other words, those gates are permanent. There's a bolt through the vertical post.
Okay.
And if an emergency vehicle needs in, they simply just drive through that and shear the bolt.
They just push on it a little bit.
Okay.
Those bolts shear.
So it's really an emergency if they need to. Yeah. I mean, it's not even something where employees could have a good...
If they're having an emergency, they would do that.
Okay. They better have an emergency.
And the gap in the center is provided just for residences
and to walk through.
Critters to walk through.
Sheer boats.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
Bicycles? Can bicycles get through there?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen, any other questions for the representatives from Big Cedar and Wilderness?
Yeah, I've got a couple more questions.
Okay.
You know, we talked about the landscaping buffer and the fence on the TS3 side.
Yes.
Coming from about where the from the emergency entrance is what I'm talking about first, over all the way through TS3, basically on that north side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a pointer, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
That just that side right there first is what I want to talk about.
Okay.
From what I understand, that was going to be a 30. We're talking about a 30-foot buffer plus a fence interwoven through there to basically keep people out.
That's correct.
Of the neighborhood, that kind of thing. Now, on the other side, Mike, this is what really brings me my question here. What are your plans? Because I went through there and kind of looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it does have landscaping, but especially when you get over into part of TS2, there's nothing there right now. So, I mean, you can't really landscape. You can't use what's there like you can some of the other places. So what are your plans to do on that side? A 30-foot buffer or a fence, or which would you – I don't personally care which one, but you can't go with the landscaping that's there now.
Our intention is that it would be a continuation of the same 30-foot buffer here with a fence, and that we would just have to add some additional plantings to – actually give you the planting.
Yeah, because right now there's not much there.
Yeah, there's it's sparse right now.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to continue on with both?
Yeah, our intention would be to plant new trees and understory plants to create a planted buffer that's 30 feet.
Okay.
And also have the fence.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
Anybody else have questions for the representatives? Okay, if not, it's time for our discussion, so thank you all very much for your information. Appreciate your supplying us with the information that we requested. Okay, gentlemen, do you have a sense that if you were to make a motion, the kinds of codicils that you would want to add to the decision of record? Okay, and there are probably about four or five of them, yeah. Ready to make a motion?
Got a question for Eddie.
Okay.
As far as the building numbers, Eddie, I know a lot of times we've asked for that. Is that a requirement? That's what we would prefer to have that. As long as we have the units, we're okay. I know we like to have that when it's possible. I understand after being over there and kind of looking at that where they're not sure where some of those layouts are going to be, which might affect how many buildings they have per unit.
It's not a requirement. It's just one of the limiting factors that we've had in the past.
Right.
This development being as spread out as it is, and you've seen what they've done in the past, you wouldn't think unless somebody else buys this project that they would go, you know, crazy with density or anything like that. We limit them to 620 units. You see some of the areas will be a lot more dense than others. But
we can limit it that way, though, right? The way they put so many units in a certain area, TS1,
yes, sir,
TS...
Yes, sir, you can do that.
The way it was presented, basically.
As presented on here, right. Density remain as presented on here.
Okay.
They may find that things will change a little bit, but...
That's the other thing. I was on the TS3 and TS1 where the cabins are, can we limit them? You know, we have residential height restrictions.
Sure.
Can we use the residential height restrictions to limit them on those cabins? I really think it's going to be significant. I mean, they're already pretty good, you know, but...
Well, I believe our residential right now is 70. It's 35.
It's 35 from...
From the mean roof height and,
right.
And you know, so I really don't think they would get that elaborate with these cabins. Now, if Mr. Morris was building his own house out there, it might be a different critter.
But they talk about tree houses.
I can see that. I don't think that's going to be an issue. But on the other hand,
well,
I want to be sure that we're pretty as concise as we can be, especially in those areas where there's – what I'm wanting to avoid is to make sure that we don't have 75-foot house right over the top of somebody's
– This is a commercial – I mean, this is not single-family residential, so it's going really, if you want to push it, it's going to fall into the commercial height requirement for 70 feet. So if you want to limit that, I would say now's the time to do that. I mean, if you want to, you know, as far as these cabins.
Can I
would talk to them about the tree houses and everything.
Question?
So.
Yeah,
I don't know who would talk to us about the cabins. Cabin construction.
We would be fine with the 35 feet. That's
okay. I mean, you see what we're trying to do there. Make it
residential.
Yes, and I don't think that's going to be a problem, but I'd like to have that
only for TS. Only for TS1 and TS3.
Right. TS1, that's why I asked
and
that.
And that's based on density.
Yes. 1, 2, and 3?
No, just no. 1 and 3.
1 and 3.
TS2 and TS4 and TS5 are multi.
That's correct.
Right?
Because they're
quite a bit higher. Which would fall under our normal height regulations.
They're multi-family buildings, not the single chest.
Okay.
Okay, ready for a motion?
Are you ready for a motion?
I'm ready to do it.
Speak slowly.
I'll try.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we approve the request with as presented as far as units through as shown, number of units per TS1 through TS9 as presented with the other following issues. The north entrance that's just north of TS3 isn't used as an emergency entrance only. Any change to that entrance would require them to come back to us. I'm waiting. Okay. Specifically, TS1 and TS3. Height regulations would fall under our residential height regulations. The rest fall under our normal. The buffer on the north side of TS3, TS2, TS1, and the west side of TS1 would be required to be a 30-foot buffer. In addition, also of a minimum of a 5-foot wire fence.
Did you say 5 foot?
Minimum.
Height.
Mm-hmm. Right, could be taller, just a minimum of 5 foot. Continuous. Everybody, I accept that one guy that guards the gate.
Continuous vegetation.
Yeah, 30-foot buffer all the way through. Okay. I mean, that's
okay.
Just want to make sure. That should cover that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
If you add that,
I don't know if I've missed anything or not. Oh, just a note that with the request for the commercial, they'll need to come back to us when they know specifically what that is.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good job.
I think that's it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
That's
added
the hard part.
Okay. Discussion. Further discussion. Any clarification on the decision of record comments?
Yeah, I would just comment that a lot of the discussion last week from the neighbors just feel for them and understand a lot of their concerns and how I would feel if a project of this size was going to happen in my backyard. But I think it's within their rights and grasp to do this, and I'm confident that y'all will do a great job. And I just don't really see how we can stand in the way of it, but do understand what the neighbors are saying and their concerns, and but I'm just optimistic that both can work together and move forward. So wanted to make that comment.
Well stated, so thank you for doing that. Other comments? Ready for the question? Okay. All those in favor of the motion as made with the, I think there were six, five.
I went down.
With whatever the addendums to the decision of record were, please signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. Opposed?
One abstention.
And one abstention.
Two abstentions.
Two abstentions. Okay. So motion carries. Okay. So there you are. You might want this.
Unless they have to have it, I would like.
Okay.
There's a smaller one, but one.
Okay. I need a hard copy for our file.
Let's keep these two.
Okay, let's move on to Villa GIS.
While Villa GIS representative is coming, I will tell you that last Wednesday night, this was the item on our agenda for the Board of Adjustment. They did present their request to that board. The board did agree unanimously to grant them a variance to build this particular facility on the 1.9 acres that they do have and to proceed on without the purchase.
And the issue there was that it's less than two acres.
Yes.
And the sewer requirements then came into
place. That is correct.
Okay, so if you remember this was where they were taking the existing building, turning it into a daycare, and then building additional factory.
Additional building in the back for, they're not matching manufacturing.
It's
office space.
Okay.
And everything, so.
Yeah, okay. And the uniqueness of the lot and the adjacency to the river church?
Well,
what was the church?
There's no church there.
The lots on either side were less than 2 acres themselves, so unable to get any land from them. The river owns one part of the big parcel on one side, and then Forsyth Welding owns the other. However, the property does have a dip in that area there, and any additional land that he bought would not be able to be utilized as far as the septic or anything because it would be running back uphill. The Board of Adjustment took that into consideration and saw fit to grant the variance as adding more land to that would basically be useless and considered that somewhat of a, due to the topography of the land, everything falls within their requirement or to allow them to issue that kind of a variance.
Okay.
So now that variance is for this particular piece of this particular project that goes with the land. If somebody else came in, tore that all down, wanted to do something different, they would probably need to go back to the same procedure.
Okay. Anybody ready to make a motion on this?
I would make a motion we approve, but with the addendum of adding that if this property would ever be sold, that they would have to come back and it wouldn't pass on to the next ownership.
Okay.
I'll wait till you're ready.
Comment?
I'll wait till you get your second or whatever.
Okay, is there a second?
Sure, I'll second.
Joy has seconded.
For commercial use.
Well, my question would be if another company wanted to come in and use the same setup, not add to or anything like that, you're saying they would need to come?
Identical use, if that's what you're saying.
As far as density?
Density, everything, sewage, have to be identical.
Or less.
To handle the same number of people.
Well, that's kind of where I'm headed here because, he said if it's sold.
Less density, yes. More density, no.
Equal or less density? You're okay with equal, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's pretty well building out that land.
Yeah.
So,
yes, that will be totally consumed. But I just wanted to make sure that if he sold that to...
In protection of the neighbors.
Yes, sir.
Short of somebody coming in and putting a widget factory in.
Right.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to approve the Villa GIS project as presented. Especially now that they have received the variance from the Board of Adjustment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, there you go.
Thank you.
There is the farmer's market, gentlemen, back. Okay. And remember, we were voting on this as a special use permit, and we're doing that a month previously, is that correct?
And maybe a month before that.
And did not have a representative, so we didn't vote on it. So, okay. So, Mr. Coxey?
Just to update you real quick, this was a special use request, particular to this gentleman and to the location down at the Elks Lodge, if I'm not mistaken. This is the farmer's market. They allow the sale of course, produce, farm animals, all kind of stuff. down there. It is not year-round, but it would be the majority of the year and on weekends. And in the event that any of the things would change as far as location or the operator of this farmer's market, then this would go away and the new people would need to come in for approval.
Okay. And did you ever get a written agreement with the Elks Club? Or is it still
a
handshake?
No, about that. They had signed all the paperwork that we had turned in.
Okay.
And
I was the landowner. They signed
the last discussion. Mm-hmm. We thought that would go. Yeah. Okay.
They did sign the application as the property owner of record.
And business is picking up as you've continued to be there?
Yes, ma'am.
On Saturdays?
Of course, each weekend is different. But we've had as many as 12 vendors come set up now.
Okay.
In place from Ozark, from Harrison, Arkansas.
Okay.
I mean, it's really getting out.
Okay, and traffic is turning in there, and your signage is better. But I want you to do something about that one sign that says SWAT meat.
You put that in the record?
Decision
record. Yeah, it's one of my favorite signs. I'd send it to Jay Leno if I had a chance. But
I think that's all handled in the team.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the use of the Elks Club parking lot as a special use permit for a farmer's market?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Good.
As soon as the rain stops, I'll make that.
Okay. it's such a good sign, though. Okay, and I believe...
If you crafted an arc there, it might work.
Brush instead of fresh. If you notice that, F-R-U-S-H.
There you go.
No, I didn't notice that one. I was so intrigued with SWAT meat.
Fresh frame.
Okay. And we have the Hallbrooks again, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. And this was the who owns what split...
This
land.
Was the first lot on Wabash.
Yes, I'm sorry I missed the last meeting. I guess I went to sleep.
Okay.
Anyway,
we'll have to.
Yeah.
You're going to have him come up to the front there.
Well, the question is, we're back.
Right.
Nothing has changed particularly, has it? Is that correct?
That is correct. I believe the last time he was with us, the only issue we had to deal with sewer. For the two different buildings, I don't know that we ever got a final on that or not.
Well, the only question I had, and I think you answered last time, but I just want to confirm, was right now you're shown as the owner of the property, correct?
Right. Sorry, you have to talk a little bit louder. I'm hard hearing.
Okay.
You may want to come up.
Come on up.
Yeah, come up, Mr. Holbrook. Okay.
Yeah, what was the question again?
Right now, you're shown as the owner of the property, correct?
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, what you're trying to do here is get that split, and that way they can have that portion.
They
have some things they have to do
their
end that we're going to require, which I'm fine with that. If it was the other way around, I'd have a few issues with it just because he would be stuck. But right now, they have a burden of stuff to do, and I'm not, when they do their part, then they can fulfill and get their...
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's...
Right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we won't sign the plat until whatever stipulations you put are satisfied.
Well, and that's what I now have a question for you, because it has been a little bit. What were we talking about, Eddie?
What we have here is there was a house and there was a garage building on here. This all built before the Bee Creek Sewer Project came through, so it was on septic system.
Right.
We're splitting a property now under 2 acres. And in so doing, the only way we can do that is for whatever buildings that need sewer services are hooked up to the existing sewer.
Okay. And if I remember right, I think that there was a toilet or at least something in that other building, that garage or whatever it is. I mean, there is a bathroom facility in that building, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think that we could... do what you need to do in the office until they hook up with the sewer.
Correct. And we would like to...
So I would like to have that in the decision record, is what I'm saying, I guess.
And did you want the old septic system disabled?
Well, whatever the sewer...
Normally they collapse that.
Where we say compliance letters from Fire, Sewer, and Water District, I think we need to have that again. I mean, that pretty much covers all that. Yeah? So, okay.
Okay, we'll get an okay.
Okay.
Isn't that dictated by the sewer department?
Yeah.
It's a requirement of them.
I believe it is.
We don't have to...
But... In this case, I mean, it's more or less looks like a garage. It's not really a house. So before they split it, I want to make sure they have a compliance letter from the sewer department.
Yes, sir, we will.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, would entertain a motion.
I don't want to interrupt your proceeding. I really didn't clearly understand what you were saying. As pertained to it and the sir, would you run that by me again?
Yeah. The building that will no longer be yours.
In other words, his building.
Right. Uh-huh. Until we will give him what he needs to take occupancy or split that or whatever, he's going to have to get a compliance letter from the sewer department saying, because there is a bathroom facility in there. So saying that, yes, we're fine with what's going on here, basically. So that's their burden to do that, not yours.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to know first if you owned it all now.
Yeah.
That way it's up to them to get that done for their benefit.
So in other words, for me to comply, I need to contact them, let them tell us what we can do to satisfy what you're saying. Because, see, she lives in Texas. She's got no one in the building, and there's no people.
You know, to be a good neighbor, you can contact them and let them know what they need to do. But that part won't be their parcel until they get the compliance letter from the sewer department, is what I'm saying.
Do you want them now to hook on, or do you want to
disable? Whatever the sewer department says.
If they disable the building.
Whatever the sewer department says.
Right.
And the sewer department is Branson Sewer Department, right?
No,
it's Taney County.
No, right now it'll be Taney County.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever they discuss with them, and then we get that, Eddie gets that in the office, we'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't want you to have to wait on them to do something to get something for you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think Don can help you with that.
Yeah.
He'll help you with that.
Thank you very much.
Would entertain a motion on the Hallbrook project, lot split?
I'll make a motion to approve the lot split with just a note that before anything else can be done.
With sewer compliance.
Which we're already asking for.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. At long last. Let's move on then to the concept part of the meeting. We have Epps Trash Service, LLC. So if the representatives from this organization will come forth.
As they are coming forth, let me remind you that you probably recognize these individuals. They were in a while back with a different project, got it approved. There were some issues that came up, and if they choose to go into that, that's up to them, but it didn't allow them to move out there. So they own some other property that in the past they had stored a few dumpsters and things on, and now are trying to consolidate their operation into one place, and so have brought this before you to put their trucks and their equipment out there.
So they didn't move into the pretty house with the big building. And
yeah, I guess, should I start
even
from
though
getting
it was a
room?
Go ahead.
Well, basically, when we come before you before to get the permit for the to transfer it over from the loopers to us, when it got right down to it, the appraisals came in way too low, for us to borrow the money to do it, and the loopers, you know, they were in a position that they couldn't take less than what was going on. So, for us, we couldn't see going into that situation the way it was. So. I had sat down and talked with my parents, and they decided because we were in this situation that they would sell us some of the land that we had already had equipment at and stuff, just to make it easier for us on that.
So
okay.
You're talking about it already exists on property now?
That's correct. But that's not this right here that's on Remington and Thelma Doyle Drive. My parents are just up the street on 165 a little ways, and we have equipment at both places. But on this particular piece of land, there is a double wide trailer there, and over the period of time we've had one to two trucks parked there and a little bit of equipment. But the most of our operation was at my parents' home, where right on 165. So technically, we've had a little bit of equipment here, but not everything.
You're proposing putting everything on.
That's correct. The
what's everything?
We're talking right now. We have three rear load trucks, and I have two truck chassis, and probably 30 or 40 carts. You know, the curbside carts that go to residential homes, and then there's probably 10 dumpsters there now that
that wait to be fixed.
This property will also, I don't have a pointer, but in order to have the 2 acres, it does encompass a little bit more property than what you're looking at. And they do have the requisite 2 acres there.
So what it's shown on here, Eddie, with these other piece down here, that funky looking piece?
Yes, sir.
Right away, that's included?
Yes, that is correct. And are you the one that lives on site there?
Yes.
And that is his house, just like the other one would have been his house. So he does live on site.
I know where this is at, but what's across the road from there?
This right here is the Skyline Baptist Church.
I'm sorry, the other way.
The other way? Thelma. This right here is some storage units right in here.
So like trailers or something?
There is a mobile home park in that area. I believe a little further up there.
No, I'm sorry. Truck trailers. Semi-truck trailers or oil rigs?
It's a real assortment of stuff.
Okay. 232 is the area you're looking at?
232, 233, 231, yeah. Because on the other side, where Skyline is, that's, if I remember right, that's a pretty big drop-off, and it's really
pretty. There's
a
bluff there, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically when you come in off of Fall Creek, there is the bed and breakfast right here, which now is not really bed and breakfast. It's like a monthly or weekly rental kind of place. These right here are more storage buildings that are kind of in this area. Right in here is a heating and cooling facility. And all this right here on Doyle Court was just bought out, and it's a landscaping company. Once you get up here, my closest... Right here is the gentleman, he lives here, that owns this area right here that has all the storage buildings, and he stores boats there and RVs. And
I'm not a kind of salvage dealer.
That was actually right here on Compton's land right here, where it was all the junk and the salvage stuff there.
Can you demonstrate with me on the using the pointer, you're entering and exiting this particular area, what residential area, to get to wherever you're going to?
Well, we actually come up Fall Creek Road onto Thelma Doyle Drive, mm-hmm. and come back Thelma Doyle Drive to Remington. And really, everything in there is a business. I think at one time...
That's where I asked the question. See if it was all business.
Yeah, everything in here is... Really, the only thing that's even questionable that's residential is my closest neighbor, Mark Dillon. He lives in this home right here. And he does this building that's right there. He does a little automotive work on the side. But he's really the closest thing to just a residential
electrical
home.
Motors?
What's that?
Electrical motors.
He does more cars. He used to work for Clements Auto Salvage, so he does automotive work.
And yeah. He gave you a letter.
Yeah, I also got a letter from him somewhere.
Basically saying he was fine with it.
Are you going to build anything, or you're going to store the trucks?
It's just parking the trucks.
Okay.
We're not building any buildings. The only thing that we did get a permit for was a 16 by 20 storage building that we put there. And that was to put the tools, anything related to servicing the trucks on site.
This close-up here, those are trailers, you're saying?
These are RV trailers. And then this is a park model, and I think these are actual tractor trailers in there, old ones.
Are people living in those RV trailers right now?
The only thing that anybody is living in...
Inhabited.
That's an RV trailer, is Mr. LaCroix.
That's storage.
So those are storage.
Those are storage, but there is one that Mr. LaCroix just put a...
So that is commercial.
Well.
I don't know about that.
Probably should be.
Well,
it is commercial.
I've got a note to check it out.
okay.
My guess is it has been something for a long time before planning and zoning, though.
Yeah. One thing I'd like to see is... some kind of layout of what your plans are, and also what your same thing from before. Mm-hmm. What's the maximum you're asking for to store outside equipment? You know, how many trucks, right? And then things like that. At least I think all of us would like to kind of have an idea what your maximum would be.
Okay.
So you know, you would get to that, and if you know you need to do something different,
okay,
either there or come back to us or go, you know, move to another spot. So that's.
And also, I mean, in that maximum, I understand the trucks. Would you also like a number of, like, containers or anything set in there or anything?
Yeah, he has
dumpsters, and then he has individual.
Yes, the little individual containers I'm not as concerned about as maybe
not,
the big old dumpsters.
Not the small residential type.
Okay,
is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Well, he said
we're talking about
said about 30 of them.
Well, right now we've got, they're basically right here. I've got about 12 of the 2-yard rear load containers sitting there just for the fact that.
Okay, the small ones.
Yeah, because my parents got land on down by the Skyline Church that they're going to let me store those at.
I think more of an idea of what your commercial containers would
okay.
be, not
just at a maximum.
A maximum.
You know,
okay.
what would be the most you'd want to store there?
Okay.
Because that's where Ryan would prefer to look at it.
The second question, most of them are nestable, kind of like the curbside carts where, you know,
you
I've got them all
inside
set.
The
in,
other.
Yeah, that they can set inside in one another. I mean, is that considered one
Compact.
Unit that way, the way they're shipped, or when they're set apart?
If you're going to set them apart, what is the intent of setting them apart? I don't
okay.
want to get picky with it, but how much space is going to be taken by the containers used?
Okay, I just don't want to be thinking I'm tricking you by
no.
staff.
No, we just want to know the numbers.
Okay.
It'd be nice
yeah.
to know.
Also,
the maximum numbers that
okay.
you're
You've only got so much space. How much of that space are you going to use?
Yeah.
Right now?
No, just
no,
that's
no,
what
no,
we
no.
need to see.
When,
it's
you,
okay.
when
yeah.
you come
back,
okay.
yeah. your storage.
Do your homework.
Yeah,
okay.
that kind of stuff.
If
fencing,
if the space that your parents are going to allow you to use
what all's around it, if it's all
has been used for that in the past and it's grandfathered in, it's fine. But if not, we need to do the same thing with the
yeah. Because really and technically, Mr. Yeah. Wolf had talked to me about it. We are parking 3 more trucks there than we normally have, so that's why we're here today.
Okay, I think you understand the process. I just have to say this because I've just finished watching all 6 seasons of The Sopranos. And they're in the trash business.
Yeah.
Any connection?
Maybe. Depends on how we do
it. That is, the trash business is one business that it's easy to launder money. That's why The Sopranos are in the business.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, gentlemen.
Right. Yeah.
We'll see you then the second Monday in October.
All right.
I think that's it.
Guys, thank you very much.
Right, okay,
guys.
And we have the trots.
Now, Columbus Day, it's Tuesday. Bonita, is that Tuesday? Before she lets him get away.
Well, that may not be Monday.
Hold on just a second.
We don't ever know. We show up anyway,
yeah,
don't we?
Right.
Hold on.
The public hearing is on Tuesday.
Okay.
It's Monday, 13th.
There you go.
There you go. Instead of the Monday.
Columbus Day is
on the 13th.
Government holiday.
Yeah. Your letter, you have...
By golly, it is.
As the trans are coming, let me...
Chuck gets off for all those nice days.
Just real quick, take you...
So
to the location.
Okay,
this
hello.
Is the Highway 248 location where the Highway 248 Automotive was. If you'll remember back about a year to a year and a half ago, we approved a project for a rental company out of Springfield, equipment rental, on one of these empty lots here. As they got into this thing, this facility had never hooked up to the sewer system. We're still working on holding tanks, and there was some discussion going on about that. As Ms. Tran came in to see us, what we told her was that, first of all, this place would have to be connected to the sewer system, and they have been in touch with Branson there. But what we've got, and I don't have a pointer that's working again. There it is. This is the lot in question right here. This lot has 2 different businesses on it, and there's a pretty huge drop-off right here. This was a repair facility, auto repair facility. Has 2 service bays here and a large waiting room, showroom area here. Then it drops off here, and then this is a auto body shop. And the entrance for this is right here, and this entrance here services this lot here. We've calculated, as you've seen, they want to open a restaurant. They want to add on to this building a little bit. They're going to put up a retaining wall and see if they can expand the parking. 75 to 100 places for clients.
Seating,
yes. That's what I'm trying to start by. Which requires about 35 parking spaces.
Well, they probably have, I guess, because they park quite a few cars out
well,
there now.
But it has to be on this particular lot here.
I see.
This part has to maintain its own parking and everything.
So that back building's still going to be what
this,
it's
this will
be?
Still be in operation.
So the top
at,
building.
And like I say, this does drop off, and they are planning on expanding this out and everything like that. But I want you to be familiar with where this is at. It will be hooked to the sewer system. And we'll
it's
let you go from there and give you more details as we go.
It's not currently hooked to the system.
I don't know if it is right now. It may be by now, but it was not when we started.
That whole complex right now is not?
Not, no. That is correct.
So since we're changing one parcel of that, we could certainly require that to be hooked up for all of it, right? Not just that one building.
Well, this is a parcel. It exists wholly by itself. So you would say everything on this parcel, I don't think you can come down and grab this one.
Right. But that other one, I mean, we really can't deal with it.
This parcel, everything on this parcel needs to be connected.
Nothing can be done with the restaurant. I mean,
because it's 1.45 acres.
Right.
And if any of it stays on septic, it's got to have 2 acres.
Okay, that's what I thought. So being that we're dealing with part of it at all, just so she's aware that all of that, and of course, I'm quite certain you know the folks down at the bottom of the hill, you know they're going to have to hook up too. So I know I'm looking at them. So, what kind of restaurant?
American.
Now you told me Chinese.
I was going to make sure. I mean, it's not like they know how to do that or anything. I just.
How big of a building is being added?
2,800 square feet.
Is that the addition or is that?
The addition's 10 feet.
10 by?
10 by what?
10 by
70. So 700 square foot addition.
And I believe it comes down right in this area right here.
Now, you know what? Where that line lies. Does it have a 7-foot buffer?
This one here?
Or is that?
Yeah.
These lines can be off as much as 30, 40 feet.
It looks like.
And everything. But adjoining this, too, is that the RV park, Dan, right there? I believe it's an RV park, if I'm not mistaken.
Go back one.
It is a business.
People see it.
Isn't that another car lot?
This is a car lot that they own.
This is the RV park. I don't know what this is.
And who owns the car lot?
That's an RV.
Trans.
That's okay. RVs there too, I think, or storage.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. I mean, it's all commercial around there. So.
Yeah.
This is a new shopping center over here.
You all understand that before that could be approved, all that's going to have to be
hooked
up.
Yeah, all of them's going to be hooked up with the sewer.
Because, we won't be able to do that.
Do you own the entire parcel?
Yeah. Okay.
No brain.
We'd like to see you do that other one this afternoon.
We're going to hook up that one too, yeah.
Okay.
All going to be hooked up.
Okay, so you're talking about adding the 700 feet, which is, isn't that a totally, that's a permit to get that added?
So, you know, our big concern, of course, is sewer, parking. You know, if they can meet all that, and then, of course, they have to deal with everybody else, health department, everything like that. If they can meet all
that. That's all in our...
We've talked to them about continuous loop parking, no dead end on that and everything, so they're aware of that. And...
Would you go back to the bigger picture? You had a bigger
that
view.
That one, the blow up. That one, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
There really is no residential close by to any of that, is there?
No. Now, there may be people that live in these, but it's actually an RV park.
An RV park.
Yeah, and not to say that people haven't taken up residence there. You know how that happens in Taney County.
In the RV park, permanent houses and
there is some permanent.
Permanent art, yeah.
But it's commercial though, because it's RV park.
Yes.
Okay, and you understand the process. And we'll see you then on October the 13th for the public hearing. Good.
Thank you.
Okay, and Benita, you have given them all the information ready to go. Okay.
Turton. Like Tom Turton?
Tom Turton. K-Wife, 10.
What?
Okay.
Hey, what are you talking
about?
Okay.
Look at
that.
Is there...
Not until this is approved.
Old business.
And then you would get... And then, we'll tell
you
about
that.
Can
we have the weather forecast to get, please?
Is there old business?
There is one more thing we need to deal with. If
well,
we have
let,
a representative...
let us see where the storm is.
I'm not sure we have a representative here for Acacia Bend 2 and 3. Do we have a representative?
Oh, wow.
Chuck, you're not doing that, are you? Anything you'd like to say tonight?
Nope.
From where?
Acacia Bend 2 and 3. This is Kazmar Steck. He's been in the hospital. Let me just tell you this real quick. He's been in the hospital. I don't remember what he said. Was it heart surgery or something like that he's recovering from? And he has the permits that need to be renewed. He's out of Florida. Is that correct? I believe out of Florida. Down on Acacia Club. He built the, down by Mr. Gilberti's, he built that eightplex or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
And then further down, he has the approval for two buildings on the water side and one on the other side. And he's been real good about renewing those. He's up to his last renewal. And in the past, what he did is he wrote in and said, I'd like to renew my permit. We'd renew it. As you know, as we went through our code book again, we found out in order for the permits to be renewed, they have to appear before you. He made the same request that he's always made. We informed him he's got to come in. He says, you know, right now, guys, I can't get there. I'm trying to find somebody to represent me. However, his permit does come due this month. So he's going to be in a situation to where, because of lack of a representative, he's going to be past his date by the end of this month. And I don't know. I mean, I would represent him and everything other than the fact that.
Except what happens. I mean, all that happens is he is past his due date, and we've had people then come in.
Right, but you did make the statement, once we get this cleared up, anybody that falls by from now on, we'll go back through. Now, I'm just bringing that to you to see if you wanted to try and do something or not.
Can you advise him?
What's your recommendation?
Well, I wish we had somebody that would represent him, but I just can't. It's pretty straightforward. You know, I can answer any questions you might have or anything like that.
But can we give him a medical exempt?
Can she represent
or something?
So he did send me, you have a written request.
I do have the written request. I do have.
Can accountants represent him?
Sure.
I mean, do we have to have?
It just says they didn't have a representative appear before you. Now, if you want to consider me that representative, I can answer all the questions you might have.
I think it's just a pro forma kind of thing that we're doing.
Yeah, yes. I would rather do that if we don't have any.
This would be the very last extension that he can get. You know, as he's told me, the market has been very, very soft. You know, my guess is that he may even choose to try and sell this before anything would happen. Nothing has changed on those properties at all.
Does somebody want to make a motion with the representative in absentia?
I was so moved.
It's so moved to extend the permit. Yeah.
With the medical exemption.
Okay. And all we need is a second and a go.
Sorry. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, I'll contact you.
Is that it?
That is it for me.
Well, gosh, that's fine. Are we ready? Goodbye.
I make a motion.
It is adjourned.
There we go.
She's recording. We have a question for us. I just want to stay for the festivities.
I had an abstention.
Okay.
I have deer hunts watching.
Oh.
You know, you'll be getting a letter from us now.
You said you had deer hunting for lunch? What did you say?
To watch.
And, deer hunting to watch.
To come in and sign your decision.
That's kind of like watching golf.
As soon as we're done there, then you're...
That's okay, too. I like that. It's a lot better than Dancing with the Stars.